Right. So we know there are biblical holidays from the Torah, from the Bible, and there are rabbinical holidays that came later on. So some biblical holidays are Pesach, Sukkot, Shavuos, that's the Sholosh Regolim, and of course you have Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish New Year, Yom Kippur. Those are all biblical holidays. And then later on in Jewish history, we have some rabbinical holidays. The two famous ones are Hanukkah, mm-hmm. and what's the other one? It starts with a P.
Purim.
Correct. Hanukkah and Purim. So we have two Jewish holidays which are post-biblical. So we have a general rule of thumb that every rabbinical mitzvah is patterned after a biblical mitzvah. When the rabbis set up rabbinical commandments, it wasn't just in a vacuum in the middle of nowhere. It was based on a biblical. So every rabbinical holiday is based on a biblical holiday. So what is the biblical holiday that Hanukkah is based on? So that's the holiday of Sukkot. Why Sukkot is 8 days and Hanukkah is 8 days. What else do they have in common besides being 8 days? They have a couple of things in common. In fact, in the Talmud, there's a dispute between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, the school of Shammai and the school of how you light Hanukkah candles. What is the dispute? Beis Shammai says the first night you light 8 candles, you go down 8, 7, 6, 5, and we follow Beis Hillel, we do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. But there's a dispute in the Talmud. So the Talmud asks, what is the reason for Beis Shammai? What does Beis Shammai say that you go down? Why should I count 8, 7, 6, 8 to 1? So they say because just like on Sukkot is a universal holiday that we bring in the temple. We know there are 70 nations, the non-Jews, we consider them 70 Gentile nations. And we bring, for the benefit, we bring 70 sacrifices during the holidays. So we do 13 on the first day, 12 the second, 11, 13, and we go down. So that's what Beis Shammai says. Just like on Sukkot, when we bring sacrifices in the temple, we go down the first day 13, second day 12. So too when it comes to candle lighting, that is patterned after Sukkot, we go down. Another connection between Sukkot and Hanukkah is, where is your sukkah located? Outside. Mm-hmm. It used to be back in the days of the Talmud, they used to light Hanukkah candles outside. You know, you have a mezuzah outside your door. On the other side, you put the Hanukkah candles. But what happened was, as happened often in Jewish history, pogroms, you know, they made religious decrees against us. So it was dangerous if you lit outside. You get put in jail, you'll be killed, or whatever. So they, rabbi said, just come inside, light on the table inside, so no one will see it. So, but originally, the commandment was to do it outside because you want to publicize the miracle. So, what is the law regarding near Hanukkah? So, Hanukkah candles you lit outside. Sukkah you did outside, another connection. And a third connection is, how high could your sukkah be? So, because we want people to be able to see the top of your sukkah, which is called the schach. And then they'll remember the miracles what happened when the Jewish people traveled 40 years in the desert.
That's so, the sukkah.
Right. So we do for...
The
milk candle. Yeah. Right. Yeah, so the 40 years, that what were you pointing at?
The milk candle, right?
No, that's the shamash.
The shamash. What's the sukkah?
No, the sukkah is that... You know, outside you sit during the holiday.
Oh, the sukkah you're talking about. Okay, yeah. Sorry.
So they point out... That
you're talking about when we make sukkahs.
Yeah, so therefore you can't be a sukkah can't be over 20 amas high. Like if it's too much that people don't look up, they're not going to see it. So too, Hanukkah, you don't want it too high or people won't see it. Let me just point out, if you happen to live on the 100th floor of an apartment building, that's okay. In other words, it goes from the floor where you're standing on, not mm-hmm. you know, not on the floor outside. So mm-hmm. it's okay. You collect wherever you are. So that's what, so we see a connection between the holiday of Sukkot and the holiday of Hanukkah. So so we have two rabbinical holidays, and they both teach us different lessons. We read in the Torah when Jacob was preparing with his battle with his brother Esav, so he prepared in three ways. Number one is he prepared for war. You got to get ready. He prepared for battle. Secondly, he split his family up. Why? Because you want, just in case, you know, you don't know who's going to be victorious. You don't want to keep, you know, just like they say in the stock market, don't keep all your eggs in one basket. You can't keep everything in Caterpillar. You have to diversify. So too in life. In fact, there's a famous story with the Meshach Chochma, Rav Meir Simcha HaKohen from Davidsk. Was that in Russia, Davidsk? Where is Davidsk? Or somewhere in Europe?
Ukraine. Sounds like Ukraine.
Yeah, so Ukraine, yeah. I guess different times they switched or depending, yeah. So he was a great rabbi who was killed by the Nazis during the Holocaust. So during World War One, they wanted the Torah scrolls in the synagogues, they were worried they're gonna get destroyed. So they got together and said, you know what? St. Petersburg, is that Russia? Mm-hmm. St. Petersburg is the safest place. Why don't we bring all our Torah scrolls there? And then we know. So the Meshach Chochma said no. And then, of course, what happened? During the war, St. Petersburg got destroyed. Mm-hmm. And they said, if not for him, we wouldn't have any Torah scrolls left. So they went to him afterwards. They said, are you a prophet? How did you know? He said, I'm not a prophet. I learned the Bible. I learned from Jacob. When Jacob was preparing for war from Esav, he split up his family. Because you don't want, if something happens to one half, at least the other one, you know, they go in different directions. Right. So too here. So that's the same thing here. So Jacob, the third thing he did was pray. He told God, save me from the hands of my brother. Save me from the hands of Esav. So it's redundant. We all know Esav and Jacob were brothers. So why did he tell God, save me from the hand of my brothers, save me from the hand of Esav? Like, which one? To say one of them. It's the same person. You make it sound like it's two different people. Mm-hmm. So the rabbis explained that no, that he was describing two different types of anti-Semitism. In life, not necessarily now, but throughout Jewish history, we should know from it, but throughout Jewish history, there could be two types of anti-Semitism. There's going to be the Hitler, the Haman. Well, they don't care if I keep kosher, if I keep Shabbos, if I believe in God. You're Jewish. You're born Jewish. We want you dead. We don't care. We're just out to kill you. That's the Hitler. That's the Esav. Esav comes with the sword. I'm going to kill you. I don't care why. That's it. No questions asked. There's nothing you could do. We're going to kill you. End of discussion. But there's another type. Sometimes they come as your friend, as your brother. Jews for Jesus. They make believe that they're the one of you. In fact, I was just, it must have been a couple of months ago. I was just, I walked out of my house. There was a Sunday. I don't know when it was. And I see this book, and it looked like a Jewish book. I see these two girls walking away. I couldn't tell, it was too far. They actually they dressed pretty modestly. They actually looked like they were Jewish from afar. Okay, I'm just doing something. I think it must have been, I'm getting, maybe it's a Monday, recycling. They get them closer. I have no idea who they are. Then I start looking closer at the book, and I see it's a Jews for Jesus book. Right. Most Jews would have no idea. They did a great job of hiding it. If I didn't know, and I'm around, when I read through it, I know what to look for, and I see they're talking about Messiah. So I knew it was a, but
anyone will get the book, they'll think it's a Jew, they'll put it in the Jewish library and they'll read about Jesus as their Messiah. So they sometimes they come with the sword, they come as Hitler, mm-hmm. other times they come as your friend. Mm-hmm. They want you to assimilate. In fact, we had two great evils in the 20th century done to the Jewish people. One evil was Hitler. The other evil was communist Russia, Soviet Union, Stalin. What was the difference between the two? Hitler wanted to kill Jews. Stalin or communism wanted to destroy Judaism. They didn't want to kill the Jews. They wanted the Jews to stay on, join communism. But they wanted to destroy Judaism. And that's what these two types of when they come as a sword, they want to kill us. That's the Hitler. When they come as my brother in communism, we're all friends, forget about. And that's what Hanukkah was. In Hanukkah, it says the Syrian Greeks attacked the Jews. The question is, what do you mean? Are they Syrians or are they Greeks? Like, which one? What do you mean Syrian Greeks? The answer is, biologically, they were Syrians. So why were they called Greeks at all? They weren't because Greek is an ideology. They wanted the Jews to take on the Greek culture.
They were Hellenists.
Hellenists, correct. They didn't want to kill us. At the end, when we refused to then we said, no, we're not taking on the Greek culture. So then they attacked us, and then the Maccabees come, and we won the war. But I'm saying is, but they were like the Russians. They didn't want us dead. They, you know, if we don't listen to them, then they'll put us in jail or they'll send us to Siberia. But their goal wasn't to kill us. They wanted us, and there was a whole generation of 70 years. It was not just against Jews. I think it's any religion. It wasn't specifically against Jews, communism. Mm-hmm. But so for 70 years, the Jews in Russia didn't learn about Judaism because they weren't allowed to. So in fact, it's an interesting story.
But Stalin did move Jews into the Siberia area.
Yeah.
He did whole area created.
Yeah, he did, yeah.
It was very, very cold, like unlivable.
He did it because the Jews were smart and he didn't want them, because the Enlightenment, the Jews were very smart.
He wanted to slowly kill everybody because it was so unlivable.
Ultimately,
it wouldn't have worked with communism.
Yeah. Stalin took it to the next level, but communism in general, right. Stalin was terrible. He wanted to actually kill them also, But the concept, that is true, So there's a story. So basically, we know in 1967, after the Jews won the war in Israel, so it was a lot of Jewish pride. So a lot of people from the Soviet Union, Russia, wanted to go to Israel. Mm-hmm. And they not only didn't they let them go, but they put them in jail. They said, no, you're not with us. And they put them in Siberia, all these places. Mm-hmm. And that's why I remember when I was growing up as a kid in New York, in the 70s, we had all these Soviet Union rallies to let the Jews go from Russia and all that. Mm-hmm. So in 1991, post-Stalin and everyone else, it wasn't President Gorbachev, Prime Minister, President, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. He was no longer the president anymore. It was 1991, I guess.
Yeltsin.
Yeah, I guess it just went communism, just ended, whatever. So Rabbi Jonathan Sacks, who used to be the chief rabbi in England, he was invited to Russia to speak about Hanukkah. I guess it was Hanukkah time. Maybe he was going to light in City Hall or something. I'm not sure, whatever he was doing. So Gorbachev was there. But Gorbachev doesn't know English. He only knows Russian. So he had an interpreter. So he asked Rabbi Sacks, why are you celebrating? What's Hanukkah? What are you celebrating? He said, let me tell you. He says, about 22 centuries ago, there was a Syrian nation who tried to stop the Jewish people from studying Torah and keeping their religion. And just like you guys in Russia, 70 years, you stopped the Jews from studying Torah, but now you got rid of communism, he says. So now you're part of the Hanukkah story, he told. And Gorbachev had a big smile on his face. you became part of the solution, not the problem. That's what Hanukkah is all about. Religious freedom. People have a right to serve their own religion. You know, we take it for granted in North America, but if you go to, you know, it used to be Russia, but you go to different places in the Middle East or other places where you have, you know, you if you're caught worshiping your own religion, they'll kill you, they'll chop your head off. So that's what we're celebrating on Hanukkah, that we're, that Purim celebrates the Hitler that we got, that the Haman, they want to kill us. But Hanukkah, we celebrate the freedom from Russia, from the communism. We celebrate the Greek culture, that and that's why the verse says, Yaakov said, save me from the hands of my brother, save me from the hands of Esav. He mentioned his brother first, because we don't want pogroms around anymore. But back in the day, you didn't have to worry about intermarriage or assimilation, because the Gentiles wouldn't let you. You weren't even allowed to live in Westdale.
Yeah, it was on
the... And yeah, it was in the bylaws. No dogs, no Jews, no maybe blacks. No blacks, no, I don't know, gypsies, I don't know. But they wouldn't... Don't worry, back in... We don't want to go back to those days, but I'm saying, when you live in a ghetto, no one wants to marry you anyway.
Diefenbaker, who changed
exactly, that. Yeah. Who did?
Diefenbaker.
That, yeah. And when and it was the same thing in Montreal also. That's the irony. That's the most Jewish area in Montreal now. And this is the most Jewish area in Hamilton, the place where they didn't let Jews come. So now we get the last laugh. But I'm saying in terms of... So in terms of... Of our religious freedom, so there, so it used to be that you couldn't even live in, you couldn't even live here and in different places. So today we're celebrating our religious freedom. You could live anywhere. People could worship their own religion, and that's what Hanukkah is all about. Purim's are more physical, but back in so now the danger of living in the good thing of living in open society is because we could. We're full-fledged citizens and everything. But also, we can never forget, don't think all of a sudden the Gentiles love the Jews. They don't. I'm not saying all of them. They're
history.
History repeats itself.
Like, when I said to him, when we go to Russia, make sure don't wear your kippah. Yeah. I know you're proud of it.
Yeah.
But it's dangerous.
Yeah, it's a bit, yeah.
Very dangerous.
In many parts of Europe, you can't either.
Yeah.
You know, you can wear a hat and stuff. Yeah. Yeah, it depends where you are, but
yeah.
I mean, you can have different parts in the States and Canada. I wouldn't wear a kippah. You know,
exactly,
wear,
yeah.
Yeah, even here, I wouldn't wear different parts in the U.S. I wouldn't want people to
know where you can.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, exactly. I wouldn't walk around in Europe with a kippah. That's for sure. Yeah,
but if you're in a certain Jewish community,
exactly.
There,
you know,
but in Russia, there is no certain Jewish community.
Yes, there is. If you go to the Vilna in Russia, you're going to wear a kippah.
I don't know Russia, so I'm saying, but I don't know. Okay. We agree in principle. There are,
this is a, we're here to learn.
No, we agree in principle that certain areas, yes. And
hide.
Yeah. So in terms of...
I don't think you have to hide.
No.
You see, you have to hide. When it's danger, you have to hide.
Okay.
I know you're proud.
Elsa, if you go to the Vilna, let's say you go to Zhytomyr, Ukraine, where my family has come. There's a Jewish community there. There's a Rebbe there. You can go to
I'm not saying no.
That's all I'm saying.
Okay. Yeah.
Everybody in the town will. Because
yeah.
That's okay, it's a Jewish community there.
Exactly. Yeah, I don't know.
Jewish community, yes.
I don't know Russia.
So there's Jewish communities there.
Yeah. Either way, whatever your work. Okay. If everyone else is wearing ukulele.
Yeah, of course. If you're going to go to see the synagogue, you're going to
wear ukulele.
Okay, but that's what we're talking about.
But you said on the streets you're going to...
I didn't say that. What are you...
No, she was talking... No, she meant on the street. She was...
Yeah, like,
of course,
in, the
of course, in the
what
show.
What are you talking about?
You said that to me.
I never said that.
Either way, it doesn't make a difference. So, so therefore, the point being is that we always have to be aware. So today... Don't think that the Gentiles don't hate the Jews. I'm not saying all of them. You have a lot of nice Gentiles, and the good Gentiles will get rewarded in the next world. But it's because we live in a world of toleration. It's not they tolerate all religions. It's not that all of a sudden they started loving Jews now. Is we live in a society. That's the good part about PC. You know, about people accept. You know, that's gone too far. you know, that you can't say Merry Christmas to someone or that, you know, but I'm saying, but that idea that today people are more accepting of other religions, but it's not because it's a love for Jews, I'll tell you that. Plenty of anti-Semites, you know, now they hide it with Israel. They call it, the new anti-Semitism is anti-Zionism. Oh, we love Jews. It's Israel we hate.
Yeah.
Because they're a apartheid. They, you know, they'll make up all this. Go to McMahon. The most dangerous place to be a Jew is in universities. If you, you know, you got, you know, you got in different areas, those are the enemy. Today used to, back in the day, it used to be the Christian, the Catholic Church. Now it they're, I wouldn't say they're our friends, but we share similar interests, and now they're on our side. It's the liberals, the leftist liberals in university. Those are our biggest enemies. They're the biggest enemies of Israel, and i.e. Jews. In fact, Deborah Lipstadt, she spoke in McMaster a couple years ago. She's a world famous. In fact, there's a movie. Did you go? It was a movie they showed. I missed it. My wife went. I want to see it. Was it in Westdale or Jackson Square? It was during Holocaust Remembrance Week, and basically,
I heard about it, yeah, but I didn't go.
Yeah.
See it.
So she's the one. She got sued by a Holocaust denier about something. That's what the movie's about. So
denying
she,
it ever
yeah.
happened.
So therefore, yeah. So she claims. So what is? So what's the new anti-Semitism? It's Holocaust denial. They deny the Holocaust. It is, in other words, because what do they do? What do the two? What do the anti-Semites say? What are the two things Jews want? They want land and they want money. So they made up the Holocaust. So the world had to give them Israel, and also Germans had to give them all these cars. So the whole Holocaust was made up. The Jews just want all the land and they want all the free cars. So, but the point being is, people don't come out and, you know, you have the KKK might, but most people don't come out now and say they hate Jews. They just say we hate Israel because they're apartheid, you know. And meanwhile, but the real apartheid nations, they don't care about. When there's real, you know, if Israel's an apartheid nation, we'd be in good shape. What I'm saying is, but it's that type of thing. That's the danger, and that's coming. It's the leftist liberals in university. Even Alan Dershowitz, who is a big lawyer, but he's a big liberal, but even he agrees when it comes to Israel, he knows the liberals. He's not a liberal when it comes to Israel. He says he hasn't...
That's why Obama's so against Israel.
That's why Obama hates... That's why Obama and Netanyahu had the worst relationship ever. I was just in Israel a couple of weeks ago, and they can't wait for Trump to take over. Mm-hmm. They said they don't know if Trump's going to be good for America... But they do know one thing, it'd be good for Israel.
Yeah.
Does too. I do, yeah, exactly. America, yeah.
It's just
I think it'll be fine. Well, of course.
It's just the liberals trying to dash
of course, so now they can't. Yeah, he'll move the capital to Jerusalem. He'll let them start building, you know. Trump doesn't care. Trump can't stand the PC people. That's why the liberals hate him.
Mm-hmm.
That's the joke, you know. What they say about why do the liberals hate Trump? Because Trump has Jewish grandkids and they don't.
Yeah.
In other words, their kids intermarried and married Goyim and their kids aren't Jewish. But Trump's kids, you know, that's the joke they say. Trump has Jewish grandkids, they don't. That's why they hate him.
Yeah, she won't worry. She keeps Shabbos.
I know. Yeah. They came back during the trip. They came back every weekend. They came back and, you know, and they were koshering the White House now.
Yeah,
they have a kosher kitchen now. So now I could go visit the White House when I go with Sean to visit Trump. Now we could get a good meal there. We get a kosher meal in the White House. They always have a Hanukkah party in the White House anyway. But
they
now,
do, yeah, they used to.
Yeah, they must be having it. Even, I think Bush started it, but now they'll. Mm-hmm. But now they could have, you know, they could have a kosher kitchen. They only made a kosher one night a year, and now they can make a kosher for the whole
time. Oh, I'm sure, because she's got family there.
Be there. And they heard they're moving down to Washington instead of the White House. It's nicer.
Well, he'll end up in
the I know. It's a step down and stuff in terms of that, yeah. And so that's why Hanukkah, it's a fight against anti-Semitism, but the one that, and that's only through Jewish education. That's what the candles represent. Candles, fire, candles represent Torah. And how do we fight? You have to educate the children, educate the families. How else, if you don't study about it, you're not going to know anything. And that's why you have many people assimilated. They don't even know they're Jewish. They don't know anything about it. They're all, they're not educated. Mm-hmm. And that's what the fight against, that's why when we light the candles, it's a fight for Jewish education and also against, all those anti-Semites.
Why is there so many liberal Jews? Why? I don't get it.
Doesn't make any sense. I know that the joke is they still think FDR's still alive, Franklin, which he was terrible for the Jews to begin with. He didn't. Yeah. He wouldn't bomb the
FDR.
He wouldn't bomb the rail tracks. He had so, and all the Jews loved him. He had a Jewish, I think, ex-secretary of state. Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. I think the liberals, because they view the Arabs are like the underdogs, and Israel now has an army. They're very as Rabbi Green Sr. likes to say, they're very uncomfortable with Jews having power.
Which has never been power like
exactly. There's never been a Jewish army, it's a state of it. So it makes these liberals very uncomfortable, because it's always about the underdog, we have to help the needy,
I just noticed there was so many Jewish people that just didn't want Trump and they wanted. Yeah.
Basically, if you notice, it's not total, but among the Orthodox Jews, you'll find many of them are much more right-wing, conservative.
Yeah, absolutely.
Among the conservative and reform, the liberal.
Yeah.
Again, not all of them, I'm saying, but you'll still find some among others, but as a general rule.
And considering what happened to our past,
And not only that, you'll find also, I find the distinction in the different types of professors. If they're real professors, like real classes, like science, math, they're usually conservative, they have a brain in their head. But the made-up religions, comparative religions, feminism, black religion, all these made-up PC classes, all these people, those are the ones who spout hate for Israel all the time. That's, the Mac students feel it the most. They go to Mac, and also it's a very big Muslim, a lot of Muslims in Mac.
Yeah, for sure.
A lot of Muslims moving here in terms of that. But so therefore, I'm not saying all the Muslims aren't bad. I'm saying it's the radical ones that are.
Only the few,
Exactly. And that's, the PC that you can't say Merry Christmas anymore. Well, you guess you can't say Happy Hanukkah.
Pushing that back.
I know, it's a push.
Which is great.
Yeah, which I know.
And you're seeing it more this year.
I know, you are seeing.
I posted some said Merry Christmas, it on the Happy Hanukkah.
You see, I guess the political correct way, people say, have a Merry, Merry, and a Happy, Happy.
But you're seeing more people saying Happy Hanukkah.
Yeah, I do. No,
and Merry Christmas.
Let's say I go to, let's say I was in Shoppers Drug Mart. I mean, whatever. Actually, there was a Muslim behind the counter, so she didn't say Merry Christmas to me. I didn't tell her Happy Hanukkah, but I was at them. I went for a workout at the YMCA. So I know the people. Let's say they probably don't even know I'm Jewish, but they'll say Merry Christmas. I'm not offended. Happy Holidays. They don't know. They're not trying to convert me. Back in the day, if it was in the day of the Crusades, then you're right, it'd be offensive because they're trying. These people, they don't even know what Merry Christmas means. They're not religious themselves. I'm saying it's like people would. I felt like saying I'm not going to do it. I was going to say it as a joke, but how offensive. How could I'm Jewish? How could
Of course, it's like my company putting out a post saying Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah to all.
Who cares?
It's just saying like Larry Spiro said that.
And if I said Happy Hanukkah to someone non-Jewish, you think I want to offend them?
So you put both to say if you're dealing with a broad public.
Yeah, I don't care. What's the difference? I'm not offended by it.
Yeah.
Why should I be offended by it? That gets into the whole issue. Should you light a Hanukkah menorah at City Hall or not? So I'm not getting into this a Jewish law discussion. I'm not even getting into the Jewish law issue. Let's assume it wasn't a problem. Obviously, Chabad says you should do it. But what's the issue? It's an issue a dispute between two big lawyers in New York, but it goes, not New York, but America, Alan Dershowitz, and this other one, Nate Lewin, but it doesn't have to be them. It's a more fundamental question. When a Jew is not living in Israel, when a Jew is living in another country, not their own, should they be publicizing and flaunting the fact that they're Jewish to people? So on one hand, you could argue, so Alan Dershowitz argues from his book Chutzpah, why should we feel like second-class citizens? Like, if the Muslims are doing, they'll do their religion down here, they'll put the Christmas tree, so why shouldn't I put my menorah? So that's one school of thought. And the other school of thought says, no, let them put anything they want, but a Jew is never safe, don't fool yourself. You're never safe in Canada, the U.S., not that you're in danger now, but don't get too comfortable. Never flaunt your Jewishness in front of non-Jews for no reason. It's going to end up inciting them and lead to more anti-Semitism. So even though now we live in good times, but they're against the concept of lighting a menorah in a public place. Those are the two schools of thought. Whether you should, so most don't. It's only Chabad. They do it. But see, the two reasons, they might do it because they might do it for the, they might be doing it for the Jewish people, so at least Jewish people will know it's Hanukkah. Mm-hmm. But the I'm saying from a more, from, that's what Yaakov did. It says when Yaakov bowed, when Yaakov was running from Esav, he humbled himself in front of, he says, you have to humble yourself in front of, you always have to do flattery. So there's a strong school of thought that is against, and I'm probably in that school, I'd rather not have a public display. I'm saying if you're doing it for Jewish people, I don't mind. Like at least I see the good of it, but I'm not a big fan of inciting non-Jews because I don't like fooling myself that we're safe here. We're safe now, but who knows for how long? You know. Not only that, but you have anti-Semites always lurking in the back.
Like Mary says, you always want to keep a big suitcase full of silver.
Exactly. You don't want to. What's the something the bear? You don't want to do something to the bear. What's that expression?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah, you don't want to wake. You know,
don't want to wake up the bear.
Yeah, the sleeping bear. You know,
sleeping bear.
Exactly. So keep. You're supposed to keep. Don't have beautiful. You know. Don't have the beautiful homes. Be low key. Don't flaunt your Judaism. And you should be very Jewish. But when you're in synagogue in your home, you don't have to go around. I'm not saying you have to hide it either. But you don't have to go around. You know, making people feel. You know, today it's a different world we live in because everyone does it. So you know, so
yeah.
There's more of a reason now. But still, you know, you should, even if you're gonna do it, you do it in a more humble way. Cause, you know,
smart way.
Exactly, smart. Oh, all these Jews are rich. All this thing, you know, you don't want to.
Yeah, yeah,
you don't want to do things that attract. That's the one thing I don't like about. That's why. That's the one thing I don't like about the fact that that Trump's kids are Jewish, because even though she's not publicizing at all, and
she never pushes it.
And you never see Kushner with a kippah on in public, which is probably a good thing. I'm just saying, because not that you need an excuse, but you know, if something goes wrong in America, that's who they're going to be blaming. Oh, it's Trump's, his Jewish daughter and his son-in-law and all those people. That's because the Jews are always going to be the scapegoat. I'm hoping it never happens. I'm just saying is. You always have to feel a little reluctant.
Just like when the plague came in, they said the Jews.
Exactly. This isn't our home. It's a nice temporary home. And Canada and the U.S., we've never had a better place to live in. It's what the we call it's the Medina Shel Chesed. It's a country of loving kindness, and it's great. So is Germany also. Before the Holocaust, you know, so right now it's great, and hopefully it will continue. You never know, the tide can change overnight. I'm hoping it does, and it never does, but we have to realize it's not our home. We could live comfortably here.
Sure they wouldn't have suspected in Germany in
100%. Any place, yeah. It changes on a dime, and everyone's looking, you know, because, you know, the economy could go bad, it could be whatever it is, you know. All we know is they're going to blame the Jews, because you would think. With all the Muslim attacks, so you would think there would be much more anti-Muslim attacks in the U.S. than anti-Jewish.
Mm-hmm.
It's been the much more anti-Jewish attacks than anti-Muslim. It makes no sense, but that's what it is. Because anti-Semitism doesn't make any sense.
It's not logical.
Yeah?
It's all propaganda on TV. Yeah. You watch CNN, they're all against Trump.
Of course, exactly, yeah.
For Clinton, and Clinton gets all the money from Saudi Arabia.
Of course, yeah.
Saudi Arabia is the biggest evil country.
Thank God she's gone.
Yeah, no. She got from Saudi Arabia. Yeah. They support, you know, they'll kill.
What do you don't say about those money?
Yeah, no.
I know. And then Trump has to get rid of some really nice charities that...